Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I want to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away, one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." 37 years ago, Robert Fulghum wrote a book he described as containing some of his uncommon thoughts on common things. In the book, he included a credo for him to live by, to have what he described as a meaningful life, and suggested that others might consider living by his credo as well. He entitled the credo, which then became the title of his book, "All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten." Well, many of you I know remember that book and perhaps have read it. At least his main credo laid out in chapter 1, which begins like this: share everything, play fair, don't hit people, put things back where you found them, clean up your own mess, don't take things that aren't yours, say you're sorry when you hurt somebody, wash your hands before you eat, flush, etc. After a few more words of wisdom, it ends with this line: when you go out into the world, it is best to hold hands and stick together. Not a bad thought, I would think, and I have found to be helpful as true. In a later chapter in his book, he brings back long-ago memories for me as he writes about the times that he remembers watching neighborhood children playing a game of hide-and-seek. When was the last time you played hide-and-seek? I can't remember when it was for me. It's been so long, 30 or 40 years or more. I just can't remember. As I remember hide-and-seek, there was always somebody, though, who hid so well we couldn't find them. Isn't that the truth? And after looking and looking, we often gave up looking for them. And after a while, though, they would show up and wonder why we quit looking for them. They wanted to be found, and we didn't find them. Didn't we care? Or you wonder, did they really want to be found? Don't we all want to be found? Whether playing hide and seek or in our homes or at work or at school or just walking through day after day in our journey in life. Don't we all want to be found sometime by someone, understood? Don't we all want to feel that we are cared about and worthy enough that they will keep looking for us until they find us? I know a man who recently died of cancer, and people didn't even know he had cancer. Some members of his family didn't know it. Friends didn't know, and he just died. He was too good at hiding. He kept it a secret. Maybe he didn't want to be found. Maybe he didn't feel like he deserved to be found. Maybe he thought people wouldn't care. Maybe he didn't need them to care or want them to care. But people did care. And sadly, they never had the chance to find him, to be with him, and to say and show him one more time in his last moments that they cared. I wonder why that happened. The woman who had been caught in the act of adultery in the passage of scripture that we read was doing a pretty good job of hiding as well. She didn't want to be found. If found, Her adulterous behavior would be discovered, and she would get rocks thrown at her until she stopped breathing. Hiding was her only option, not her best option, and I would guess not the one that she would have chosen for her life if she had a chance at a do-over in life. But then one day, as we see in the passage, she was found by the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees and brought before Jesus, not because they cared about her and not because they wanted Jesus to help her. They were all set to kill her by stoning, but they first brought her to Jesus because they wanted to trap Jesus and get him to publicly reject the law of Moses, which they were pretty sure he would do, killing two birds with one stone, so to speak, the adulterous woman and Jesus, because they knew he cared about her and would probably reject that law and not want her stoned. But in that moment of judging her and trying to trick Jesus, that precious, lost, and lonely woman was found by someone else, this time not by the Pharisees, but this time by the God of all creation. And Jesus said to the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law, standing there ready to stone her, and the crowd who was also listening, he said, "Fine, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, well, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left there in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." And she did, as he said. The adulterous woman was hiding. The man who died of cancer not long ago was hiding. And like the child in the game of hide and seek, they hid so well, it was hard to find them. We do that too, though, don't we? Hide. Sure we do. We hide the real us from others. We hide things we don't want people to know about us. We hide things about us that we don't know how to fix. We hide things we need help with and could get help with, but we don't. We just hide. Yet deep down inside, we want to be found. We want someone to care, to understand, to help us. What do you need help with? What's going on in your life right now? What are you keeping inside? Why not get found? Why not stop hiding? What great-looking front are you putting up for all the world to see and hiding behind while you're crying and dying inside? Why keep faking that you're okay, my friend? Why not get found? You don't have to broadcast it to the world like the Pharisees did. Maybe there's someone out there who can help you, someone you trust, someone who would want to find you and help you to move past whatever ties you down and holds you back, to be able to move on to all you were created to be. Why not get found? Why not face what you need to face? Why not begin to move beyond whatever is before you, troubling you, holding you down and back from being all you can be, and begin to move forward toward the person you were created to be, and also toward the one who always knows where you are, the one who sees your every step, every misstep, and every screw up, and loves you still the same, the one who is waiting for you to turn toward him, where you will be found once again by the one who, listen to me, knows you best and loves you most, the one ready to move on with you. You know, it's not clear what Jesus wrote in the dust when he leaned over. Some have suggested that he wrote the names of the accusers who were standing there ready to stone her, or what he knew about things they had done in their lives. And other suggestions have been made by the experts. But I wonder, knowing him and his love, if he simply wrote the woman's sins in the dust to be blown away by the next breeze of his forgiveness, which he has forever written in the immovable rock of his grace for her and for us. By the way, do you think Jesus was just wandering around unaware of that woman until the Pharisees brought her to him? And the answer, of course, is no. He knew all about her. and he found her. Just like you, my friends, he knows all about you, sees you, and sees me, and will find you, and simply needs you and me to turn toward him and go with him toward the life he created you to live today and every day. Let me pray for us. Father, I just thank you how every day you remind us how much you love us and care for us, that you know all about us, that you found us, and you simply need us to turn towards you, open up, and become all that you want us to be. Help us to find someone that we need, that Christ has put there, Lord, for us to share with, somebody that would walk with us, somebody that would understand, can help us move past whatever is before us. But Lord, we know you're always there, guiding and directing us. Help us in that day, and help us with that, Lord, so that we can move into all that you created us to be in every respect. Thanks for loving us. Be with that family who's struggling with the loss of a loved one today, Lord, reminding them that they're not lost. We know exactly where they are. They've stepped into your arms. Be with all of us, Lord, who are struggling through those moments, remembering that we don't struggle alone, that you are already there with us. You have found us. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for all you do for us and with us. In Jesus' precious, precious name, we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.